The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
I think a lot of you know, but Sam Lundell here is Pastor Dallas's brother, with a little more hair, a little better looking, but brother. He doesn't live here, but he comes in and out of town. We are just blessed every time you join us, Sam. This is the start of the best week of Sam's life ever. He is, he's getting married on Saturday, so you can pray for him, and we'll look forward to that, Sam. You think your life is good now, just wait till next week. It's amazing. It will be amazing. Her name's not Grace, but it will be amazing. Don't laugh, it just encourages me. We have had a great summer here. I hope you've had a great summer. I loved listening to Pastor Sean for the 4 weeks. He did a series called Myopia, and if you didn't hear that, you need to go online and hear it. It's right down the center of what I think God wants us to hear and know and do and be. And last week up here, he had Ryan Arnold and his wife Laurel interviewed them, and it was like an exclamation point on the whole series. Seriously, that interview last week, that is probably one of the highlights of the year. You should really download that and listen to it. It was just that good. I loved actually not having to preach for a lot of the summer. It's wonderful on Saturday night to have no stress. And you know, I did something last Sunday that I don't remember doing like for a long time, maybe 20, 30, I don't know, 35 years. I woke up and I said to Ginny, let's drive to church together. There's a novel idea. And I said, we'll go at 11. So we did. And I was so excited to drive to church with my wife. I was talking away, and we got to 32nd and Gates, and she turned and said, you talk way too much on Sunday mornings. She said, I'm used to driving in silence. So we're back to silence on the way to church, both of us, separate vehicles, but our marriage is good. I want to today talk to you about our vision. We call it Vision Sunday. What I want to do today is I want you to know who we are. And I want you to know where we're going. And I hope I can invite you to join us on that journey. Our vision comes right out of what we believe and determines everything that we do. So you have it in your bulletin. It's on the screen. Let me just remind you of it. Our vision at Crossroads is to give everybody in central Alberta. Now, we're assuming that's a circle around Red Deer, about an hour in every direction, to give everyone in central Alberta an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and, by following him, compassionately impact our world. I want to talk to you about that for a bit today. As I said, our vision comes out of what we believe. And it determines the direction that we go. It determines what we do. So what I'm going to do to start is I'm going to talk about seven things, seven truths, maybe a better way to say it, that are absolutely foundational for us that we build everything else on. And I am literally, I decided not to put them on the screen. I want you. I don't want the screen to have you. Sometimes if you watch a screen and you're writing stuff down, you miss the heart. And I want you to hear my heart. If you get this, you'll get our heart at Crossroads. You can always go online and jot the points down. But what I'm going to share with you to start are seven foundational truths that we won't compromise, give up, let go of, water down. In fact, seven truths that we're willing to die for here at Crossroads. And then I'm going to talk to you about four things that we do. Now, I get, because I've sat there for a month and a half, that when a pastor says, I got 11 things to go through, you go, oh my goodness. I will land this on time, more or less, and we will be able to go on and do what we have to do. But these are absolutely critical things that we believe and critical things that we do. And I hope when we leave here today and walk out of the doors, we are crystal clear about what we believe together at Crossroads Church, crystal clear about what we do, the direction that we move in. So let me give them to you in order. Here's what we believe. Number one, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God in its entirety. Now, your Bible might be on your phone or your iPad, whatever. It doesn't matter. Mine's real. We actually believe that from cover to cover, in its entirety, it's the Word of God. You say, where on earth would you get that from? Well, there's a place in here where it actually makes that claim for itself. It says here in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the person of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. That means it comes from His mouth, but from His mouth there means it comes from His heart. So this book, this Bible, in its entirety, actually comes from God's heart. You read this stuff, you are reading right from God's heart. It's like a love letter written from God to you and to me. If it's from God and from His heart, it therefore means for us it's authoritative. It means we come under it. We shape our lives by what it teaches. Because if it's from God, it has authority. To sort of keep playing with that a little bit, what it really means when you begin to work it through is it's relevant because God's always relevant. It's never outdated, never needs to be tweaked because of the culture. God, who knows everything, gave it to us so that we would know how to conduct ourselves in a proper way in a world that's falling apart, a world that's broken. And another place it says in the Bible that God established this stuff to last forever. That's why it's worth knowing. That's why it's worth getting into your heart, because we'll be interacting with this material forever. Not just till we go to heaven. God established it to last forever. There's more truth in here to be brought forth than we'll ever exhaust in our little lifetimes. It'll take eternity to get to the heart of everything God has revealed in His Word. So everywhere at Crossroads, we instruct our children's people, our groups people, our youth people, anybody talking up here, you teach it, but then you apply it because it's meant to shape our lives. It's transformative information, if I can put it that way. It's God's heart. So we believe the Bible in its entirety, it's God's Word. Second thing that is vital for us, that we would be willing to die for literally here at Crossroads, we believe that every single human being is created in the image and likeness of God, regardless of their age, gender, race, status, sexuality, anything. Everybody on the planet has been created in the image and likeness of God. That's very good news, by the way. Some people, when they try and share what the Bible teaches, they start with bad news. The Bible starts with good news. What that means, created in the image and likeness of God, I don't really know exactly, but I get this from it. It means that we are distinct and separate from the rest of all God's creation that wasn't made in God's image and likeness. It means that we have infinite worth and value to God because we've been created in His image and likeness. So I don't care who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, you have infinite value and worth to God. You were created in His image. To put it right down at the most basic level, it means nobody is a nobody with God. It means that the greatest purpose of our being is relationship with God. We were created for relationship with our Creator. One of the things that gave God the greatest joy ever was when He could walk with Adam and Eve in the garden before that relationship was broken and talk to them and have fellowship with them day after day after day. That brought huge joy to His heart. And that's why we were created. We actually believe that here. We didn't just happen. It didn't just come to be. We were created by a personal God with a heart that loves the people He created and desires, longs for is a better word, relationship with them. Third thing we believe, every single human being starts out in life with a broken relationship with God. What we were created for, we don't experience. It's busted, broken. Somehow, at some points in our life, we get that. I don't know how to describe it exactly. Some people have described it to me as an emptiness or a longing for something more than anything they've had or touched has been able to deliver. Sometimes it's no matter how many people you have in your life or how much stuff, there's a deep lostness in the heart of our soul. We can't figure that out. That's because we were created for relationship with God and it's broken. We believe that. The Bible has a word for that. It's called sin. It says we were all born sinners. Sin is, at its root, it's you being God instead of God being God. It's you and me choosing that we would do life our way in control, and God, you know, we don't want anything to do with him. That's sin. We all chose that. And the outcomes are all different. They have different symptoms, outcomes. Sometimes it's lust, greed, power, control, pride, cheating. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But it comes from that root where we made a decision at some point in all of our lives that we would be God, not God. And as a result, the relationship is broken. It says we've all sinned in the Bible, and we fall short of God's standard, his righteousness. Fourth thing we believe and are willing to die for is that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only way our relationship with God can be put right. We can't fix ourselves. It's like we start out and we're sinners, and we're on a path that if we stay on that path, it leads to eternal death. The problem is we don't know how to get off the path. We can't get off the path. We're stuck on that path. God has said in his word that the soul, the person that sins, dies. So we're doomed. The only way you could ever get off that path is if somebody, somewhere, sometime stepped up and said, I will take their place. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. There was a point in time when he put up his hand. He said, I will take Dan Cochran's place. I will go. I will take the punishment for his sin on myself. And that's the meaning of Jesus' death on the cross. He's a substitute there for you and for me. With our sin piled on him, God punishing him. It's the only way to be put right with God again. We believe that. We believe with all of our hearts here that Jesus is the only way to God. We would literally die for that truth. We'll never water it down, give it up, let it go, compromise it. That's foundational to everything we believe and do here. Fifth thing is that salvation is a gift from God to all who believe. It's one thing to say Jesus died as my substitute to save me from a busted way of life. It's a whole other thing to experience that. And the Bible says all you have to do is to look to Jesus Christ and believe with all of your heart that he died for you, that God raised him from the dead, and salvation is gifted to you. Can't earn it. Can't go to church enough to get it. Can't be good enough, make amends enough. But what you can do is believe with all your heart that when Jesus died, he died for you. God says in some way I can't understand, but I believe that when you trust Jesus Christ with your heart and his death for you, that God gives you forgiveness of sins, his Holy Spirit to live a brand new life. So, fifth thing, salvation is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. So when you come here, we're going to talk a lot about Jesus. We're going to sing a lot about Jesus. Because we get there's no other name that's worth talking about. A win for us on a Sunday is when you're out in the foyer or you're having coffee or lunch, you're talking about how good God is and how great Jesus is. That's a win. If you're talking about me or Dallas or Sean or Deb or whoever's up here leading, that's not a win for us. A win for us is when the name on your lips is Jesus Christ. Because that's who it's all about. That's why we're here. We celebrate his great death and resurrection for us. The fact that when we believed in him, we literally received eternal life. Sixth thing we believe here is that the result of this new life is a new lifestyle. Result of the new life, new lifestyle. You don't stay the same. We don't live the same way anymore. In fact, the word in the Bible is disciple. Because that's not a word that's that common, we've called it follower. Same thing. You become, when you receive the free gift of eternal life from God, you become a follower of Jesus. In other words, we're learning to do life from him now. We were doing it our way, and the outcomes weren't all that good. So now we're following Jesus. And how do you follow somebody you can't see? Well, you may not be able to see him, but you can hear him through his words. So we take his words and we bounce them off our life and we apply them and we put them into practice. And it works for your own heart. It works for your job. It works for your marriage. It works for your purposes, your goals, your dreams. Everything in our life is shaped now by the words of Jesus Christ because we are committed. We won't bat 1,000, but we're committed to follow him. The expression we use is that from the day you become a Christian, it becomes a long obedience in the same direction, following Jesus. The first step on that path is baptism. So we'll always make a big deal about baptism here. We just had a baptism at the river in the middle of August. A lot of people, I think they're on your bulletin name there, were baptized. That's the first step of followership of Jesus. And it just keeps going from that point on. Seventh thing, I told you we'd get through these fairly quick. Seventh thing we believe is that God is actively and presently at work in our world. And that means Red Deer in Central Alberta. And invites us to join him. We literally believe that God is ahead of us, actively involved in Red Deer in Central Alberta. And his invitation to us is follow me out into your city, out into your communities. Where do I get that from? Well, in John chapter 5, there's this statement Jesus makes. And I happen to believe that God's the same today as he was then. Jesus says about the Father. He says, my Father is always at his work to this very day. And I too, Jesus says, am working. And then he goes on and he says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We look for what the Father's doing. And we partner with him in his work. How do we find it? It's when you're given an opportunity to do good, to bless somebody, to encourage somebody, to give a meal to somebody, to dress somebody, to clothe somebody, to share the gospel with somebody. As those doors of opportunity open, we take them as God already at work saying, hey, come and join me. I want you to partner with me in this. We really, really believe that, that God's not done, that he's actively at work in our community. So in the light of those seven truths, we built our vision based on the Great Commission in Matthew 28, which you'll see on the screen. If I can put that on the screen, then I won't have to read it. I got it right here. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. That would include Red Deer and Central Alberta, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Those are the last words that Jesus gave his followers. They apply to us. He says to us, go and make disciples and teach them to live the way I've taught you to live. That's what that means. So we wrestled with that as leadership here for a long time. And we came up with that vision statement because it really just says, this is where and how we'll do the Great Commission. So we take our vision statement and we do four things with it. If you're a part of Crossroads, I need you to know this. If you'd like to be a part of Crossroads, I want you to hear this so you can make a decision. But I'd invite all of you to join us. You're welcome to join us on this. But in the light of our vision that we believe God gave us, here's four things that we do, built on the seven things that we believe, if that makes sense. It does to me. I hope it does to you. Here's the first thing we do. We bring life wherever we go. We've made a commitment to bring life wherever we go. You see, when you follow Jesus, he says, I am the life. When you let him fill you and lead you out into your week, you bring life wherever you go. In fact, there's a place in the Bible that says, you're either bringing life or you're bringing death wherever you go. Do you realize that? Wherever you go, you're bringing life or you're bringing death. We make a commitment to bring life. I realized that a while back. Back in the spring, Ginny was out visiting her parents, and I had been here on Sunday morning and had nowhere to go for lunch, so I thought, I just want to be alone. So where can I go in Red Deer to have lunch and be alone? And I thought, the Sheraton, best buffet in town, and nobody's ever there, and there's a table around the corner, and I can just be. And I wasn't particularly happy. I wanted a couple hours off of bringing life and just being able to sulk about a couple things that I wanted to sulk about. And so I was a complete jerk. And I went and I sat at the table, and the lady that was serving me, she was doing her job, but I didn't think she was. It was my fault, not hers. And I was just being generally obnoxious. And I'm sitting, the way I work in a restaurant is I start my tip at 20%. And depending on how it goes, it just works down, you know. So if you're really, really good, it'll stay there. But, you know, it can go down. That's where I start and go down. So I had determined already that this wasn't going to be a good tip day. My fault, not hers. So I'd never seen her before. She brings the bill and she puts it on the table and she says, "Thanks, Pastor Dan. I'll see you at church tonight." That one statement sent her tip through the moon. You either bring life or you bring death wherever you go. We determine to bring life. Lord, I can't do anything without you. Sitting in a restaurant, walking down the street, we just bring life. By the way, this is what I found out this summer. We looked at Luke way back in the spring, but what I discovered is there's a phrase that's frequent in the Gospels, and it starts this way. It says, as they were walking along the road. Now, if you ever are reading the Gospels and you see the phrase, as they were walking along the road, pay attention, because what's going to be next is a huge God event. God will show up as they're walking along the road. Here they are walking along the road, going for groceries, going to Starbucks, going to whatever, just thinking it's another day, and God just breaks into the day. It's crazy. And it tells us that as we walk along the road, as we drive along the road, as we do life, there's so many times when God just breaks in. He nudges you and says, "Hey, I'm at work here. You could join me." So we bring life wherever we go. How we bring life is, if you're part of Crossroads, we pray for three people by name that aren't yet followers of Jesus, that they would come to know Christ. We do that. You know why? Because we discovered that nobody comes to Christ unless somebody's prayed for them. So we have friends, we have family, we have neighbors that don't know Jesus. We pray for them by name regularly. I would like to say to you, if you're part of Crossroads, we do that. That's what we do. What I'm finding is I have a journal where I have names, but God adds to that list. You ever notice that? And he adds to that list. So I'm learning to, as I'm walking along the road, pay attention, because sometimes he nudges you and says, that person should be on your list. 3 weeks ago, Jordan Poulsen and I got on an airplane to go to Toronto, and we walked through the business class, and our row was the first row of the peanut gallery. And I noticed as we walked through business class that one of our political leaders was sitting there. She was already on her devices, not paying attention to anybody. Oh, that's interesting. I know her. At least I know her face and name. And where I sat before that great curtain separating the have-nots from the haves closes, I actually could get a vision of her. And you know, when they begin to land the plane, they have to open that so that even peanut gallery people can get off if it burns or crashes or something. So there I saw her as we were. And you know what she did? She took out her makeup, oblivious, and she's starting to make her face up. And that's amusing, I thought. Then she took out this thing. It was about that long, and she's painting her face, like in the airplane. You ever done that? I haven't. I thought, you know, I'm sitting there to myself thinking, it's so good to be a man. You can walk off an airplane looking like a bag of nails and nobody cares. And I just kind of was amused, and that's kind of cool. And then just before the wheels touched the tarmac, it's like a voice inside said, "Well." And I went, "Well, what?" "Well, aren't you going to pray for her?" "Well, what do you mean?" "Doesn't my word say that we ought to pray for those in authority over us? Why wouldn't you pray for her?" I thought, I'll pray for her. I started praying for her. I prayed that she would, rather than have people notice her, that she'd begin to see God in her life, that God would begin to show up in her life. And then I realized I have a friend who's an MP in her party that sits near her, that's a strong Christ follower. So I began to pray for him, that God would open doors for him to speak into her life. That's what I mean. As we're going along the road, the Holy Spirit nudges us and says, "Well, will you want to join me in this thing?" So later in the week, we're in Toronto, and we said, "Where do you want to go to church?" And we couldn't decide, so we said, "We're going to People's Church in Toronto. It's a great church, and one of the churches with great history in that city." So we went to People's Church, and we got there just as the service was beginning. It's so refreshing to come late or right on time. You know, I have to come early all the time. So we came in and we had to jump over a man that was on the end, and I ended up sitting beside him. And I turned to him. I said, "Hi, I'm Dan." He said, "Hi, I'm Chris." I said, "This is my first time in People's Church." He said, "Oh, that's good. Where are you from?" I said, "Red Deer, Alberta." He said, "Oh, I got a son out there." Then he said, "This is my first time too." I said, "Oh, really? What city are you from?" "I'm not." He said, "I'm just from down the street." I said, "Well, what brought you today?" "Don't know. Haven't been in church for 23 years, he said. "And I got up today and something said, you should go down to People's Church." He sat beside me like this during the worship. The preacher preached a great message. He took it all in. And I watched him leave, and he didn't engage with anybody, and I suddenly felt the nudge. I felt the Lord say, "I'm drawing that man back to myself, and he needs somebody to pray for him." So I got home, I put Chris's name in my journal, and I may never see him again, but I pray for him that God will finish the work that he started. So you just, we have to walk with eyes wide open. Pay attention. That's what we bring life through praying, but also through 1 minute longer conversations with people. You know, I'm not very good at leading people to Jesus. You might be. I'm not. But what I can do is I can push a conversation a minute. And I find sometimes if you push a conversation a minute and just say to the Holy Spirit, "If you would like this to go somewhere, I'll play, but you have to keep opening the doors." So everywhere I go, I try and push a conversation a minute longer. I drive my family nuts sometimes. But you know what? It's amazing what God does. I'm in a bank one day. I'm sitting in this lady's office, and she has all her amortization books up there. Tucked in the middle is an end times fiction book right up there. And I think that's really weird on a lot of levels, but it's there. And, you know, it's like the Left Behind series, one of them. And so I thought, this is just so easy to have a minute longer conversation. So I said, "What's that?" She said, "That's a book." I said, "I know. What kind of book?" And she says, "Well, it's like about the end of the world." And I said, "Really?" I said, "What do you mean?" And she started explaining it to me. I said, "Oh, I go to a church in Red Deer. And they actually believe that Jesus is coming back. You should come. Check it out." It's that easy. It's just a minute longer conversation. As you're going along the road, pay attention and engage, and you'd be amazed how often the Holy Spirit opens doors, and all you have to do is follow Him in that dance. A lot of people are here today because somebody tried that and introduced you to Jesus or Crossroads or some good people, and you found eternal life. That's amazing to me. And then how we bring life is we serve. We serve here. We serve each other. We serve in our different ministries. We realize that we have some abilities and gifts God gave us, so we put them at the disposal of other people so that the body of Christ, the church, can be built up. So when you go out today, you go down Ministry Lane, you'll see people from the children's department, all sorts of areas saying, "Hey, pick me." What I'd like you to do is just talk to them. Look at them. They have candy. It's bait, it's called. And then pray. We have a prayer in the bulletin that'll be the September's prayer, which I'll really bring in next week more, but it's really asking the Lord, "Lord, where do I fit?" And then we serve in our community, in our city. You know, we don't go out, we don't want you to go out and fly a Crossroads flag. It's not about us. It's about us, Christ followers, just adding value to our city by serving in areas in the city where they need help, like the great shoreline cleanup next Sunday. It's just like serving where we live. That's how we bring life. Now, that's the first thing. I said there was four. And the four are going to happen really quick, apparently. The second one is we make room. This is what we do. We make room for everyone God adds to our church. We make room. I want to tell you what I mean by that. We make room in our hearts. You know, sometimes people come to Christ and we've prayed for them. Then we go, "Oh my goodness, I don't know what to do with them now. Surely not them." And because they come with baggage, they come with stuff. They've hurt people, they've wrecked things, and now they're Christ followers. And it's so easy to be just standoffish or aloof. But thankfully, God isn't like that. Every prodigal that comes, He runs to embrace, and we have to follow Him in that. We have to make room in our hearts for people God is bringing to Jesus. You know, I said to someone last week, I said, it's so cool to read about David in the Bible. That's so great. And Moses, he killed a guy. That's not so great, but it's great to read about Moses and how God used him. David, he did some pretty bad things. And, you know, we applaud that and applaud what God did in their life. But when David steps off the pages of the Bible, or Moses, and walks in through the front doors, that's a whole different deal. But that's what Jesus is doing all the time. And we welcome people the way we ourselves have been welcomed to the table of the Lord. That's what we do. And then we physically make room here. So we've been pushing out all summer the fact that next Sunday, our evening service is moving to 6 o'clock because we think that'll make it easier for some people to come. Why are we doing that? Well, not so that we can get home earlier, really, any of us, but so that we can make room in a service like this for people that God is adding to the body. So we've asked you to think about moving to 6 o'clock. Pick a service, go to it, serve at another service, and if you're inviting people, bring them to the service you go to. Because we need to make room for people that we actually believe Jesus wants to add to the body. So we're always trying to figure out how to make room. We don't believe that God is tapped out in terms of adding people to his body. So we won't either. So we're always trying to make room for people that God is adding. Third thing we're doing, we're opening our hearts to the needs of the world around us. So you can see the banners to my left, your right. We've talked about them before, but just to review it for you, we felt that as God gave us this vision to give everyone an opportunity to know Jesus, He also put on our heart this idea of compassionately impacting our world. And so the influence that he's allowed us to have goes into Central Alberta and in terms of partnering with different organizations, Pregnancy Care Center, Women's Outreach, Boys and Girls Clubs, and we partner with them in order that they can do their work really, really well. And that God can be honored right here in Red Deer. This should be the best place in the world to live with this many Christ followers. Shouldn't be a better place in the world to live than right here in Red Deer in Central Alberta. And then we partner globally with an organization in Haiti, Rwanda, and Uganda, previously Sudan. When it comes to Haiti and Uganda, we've had a relationship for many, many years, more recently in Rwanda. But what we do, especially at Christmas, we bring these organizations to your attention and we say, look at who's here. Meet some of these people. Learn about them because we send teams out all the time and we pray for them. We send money there and it's making a real difference in worlds in those countries. And so when you go in the foyer today, Pastor Tracy will be there at the table. You can talk to her and get more information if you need to. We would love to bring you sometime on one of the trips that we take there. It would change your whole worldview. You never come back the same when you land from one of those places. Phenomenal experience. Let me tell you about another banner that's going to go up later in the fall, which will represent a further expansion of influence, we'll say, of the vision of Crossroads Church globally. We are going to engage in three areas that will all be on one banner, but these three areas are, number one, persecuted believers. We want to pray for them and encourage them, and if possible, visit them where they are. Many, many believers in the world today put their life on the line to do what we're doing, just showing up. And we want to encourage them and pray for them and say, we care. Another area is Muslims far and near. Love them, minister to them, share the good news of Jesus, welcome them if they want to come and join us in a service. Third area is engaging with national pastors around the world that need training and equipping. And in North America, we don't bring a lot to the table because we're a bit player in a really big pool. And there's whole lots of churches and good people that resource people like myself and Sean and all of our pastors. But there's whole parts of the world where nobody goes, nobody wants to go. There's 2.5 million pastors in this world with no Bible education, many of whom haven't read the Bible from cover to cover. And we feel that God has given us some opportunities to play, and we want to just keep following down that path. We've done a bit in Rwanda, a little bit in Uganda, Greece for sure. Every year there's a pastor's conference in Haiti. And every year we generally send someone down to that to do some teaching. And I shared with you earlier in the year that Pastor Jordan and myself, with our wives and Dan and Marcy Wilson, went down to Haiti and did the pastor's conference. It's amazing, you guys. Like 200 or 300 pastors come, and they love to be together because they're off in these little spots and nobody, you know, pours into their life. And they worship with all of their hearts, sometimes the same song forever, but it's great. And they soak up everything you give them, and they'll steal some of our talks and give them back home. It's really fun. But we decided this year to go up and visit one of the churches. So we followed a little pastor up a mountain. I told you about that. And we went to this tiny little village where he has a little church on the side of a mountain. We got up there Friday night, I think it was. We all had to sleep in one room. Our backpacks were in a shed. The other part of the shed was the goat that we were going to eat. He's just hanging, and we were going to eat him at lunch tomorrow. He was just hanging out with our backpacks. So we went to bed, and we thought it'll be like North America, so there'll be an agenda tomorrow. And we got up and had our breakfast, coffee, whatever, watched the dead goat go by as it went into the pot. And we sat there with these Haitian believers, and we thought, well, what's next? Nothing was next. It got to 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, and we just talked. And 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, we're talking, ate the goat, talked a bit more. It's just suddenly a light goes on somewhere and says, hey, this could be about relationship. We learned a lot up on the mountain. And at night, we gathered together, and they worshiped with all of their hearts. People came from all over the mountain in this tiny little church, and we worshiped. They had been praying that they would be a light in their community. Guess who shows up? The voodoo priest. He shows up at the service. He hears the gospel. They were excited because he was in the house. There is so much life going on in these places, but nobody to pour into them. So we really are excited about the way God's opening doors for us in that world. And we'll hear more about that as we go through the fall. I just wanted to put it on your radar screen and give you a heads up. So how many areas have I covered here? Thank you. Three. So the fourth one, I'm just going to turn my page and I'll find it. We aim for a really big harvest, a really big harvest. We aim for a really, really big harvest. I don't know if God's into big, but he's certainly into more. So that means the harvest has to be great. God's not done yet. I have friends, neighbors, you do too, that still need to know Christ. And so we aim here at Crossroads for a really big harvest. I could illustrate it this way. This is what I did this week, because Sean's been speaking, so I had a lot of free time. I went on the internet, and I Googled the five top toys of all time. You try that. Five top toys of all time. What do you think they would be? So I figured out what they were. I said to Wilma, go get them. I want them Sunday. I want to show you what they are. First one was dirt. Just dirt. Isn't that cool? Tell me you haven't played with this. We made mud pies. We made roads for our little toys. Dirt. Number one. Amazing. Every kid in the world can have the number one toy in the world. This one, isn't that cool? Cardboard tube, number two toy in the world. You can do so much with this, you know, it's like, listen, I want to tell you something here. Those areas need a lot of money, and we take an offering at Christmas, so how we're going to save money, we're going to give our kids tubes this Christmas. What? Why wouldn't you give them the best gifts in the world? Cost you nothing. And they'll talk about it the rest of their lives. Remember that Christmas our parents were so cheap? But they'll remember. A stick of all things. Just a stick. These are the top five. String. Like, I don't know what you do with that. We never played with that. And then, of course, the big one is under here. The great unveiling. A box. A cardboard box. We made cars out of those and went to a drive-in movie with those when we were kids. Those are the five. Why do I tell that to you? Because I had 5 minutes to burn. Just to say this. The power of imagination a kid knows. Somehow we lose that as we grow older. Yet God keeps trying to embedded in our DNA by saying, listen, I'm able to do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine. So we aim big. We don't want to limit our prayers by our experience or even our own expectations, because God always dreams bigger dreams than we dream. His dreams for Red Deer and Central Alberta and the areas of the world that He's allowed us to work with Him are so massive, we don't even begin to touch them. That's why I love this vision. It'll far outlive any of us here. God's dreams are huge for you, for your family, for this church, for this world. We haven't begun yet to see what God can do. So we aim big, we expect Him to work. And today is an opportunity for all of us just to get on the same page. Maybe to re-engage with our vision. Maybe to put up our hand, as it were, and say, I'm in. We end the service with the Lord's table. And I want you to know that you are invited to the table of the Lord. And when you come to the table of the Lord today, I want you to come and take and say thank you, but also say, Lord, I'm back in. And if you've never met Jesus before, I want you to know you are welcome and invited to the table of the Lord. You could come today. This could be the first day of following Jesus. You could take the bread and the cup, which I'll explain in a minute, and you could say, Lord, I trust you. And you could join the rest of us in following Jesus on the greatest adventure of your life. When you take bread and the cup today, I want you to come with a huge ask. I want you to say thank you for what Jesus did, but I want you to ask for what you need. You need forgiveness? Ask for it. You need to be restored because summer's been all over the map? Ask for it. You need healing? Ask Him. You need peace? Ask Him. You need help? Ask Him. I want you to listen to the words of this song, and then we'll respond around the table of the Lord.
At the table of the Lord, I will feast at the table of the Lord, and I won't hunger anymore at His table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord, and I won't hunger anymore at His table. Come all you weary, come and find, His yoke is easy, His burden light. There is peace at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord. And I won't worry anymore at His table. There is healing at the table of the Lord. There is healing at the table of the Lord. Oh, and I won't suffer anymore at His table. Come all you weary, come and find, His yoke is easy, His burden light. God. the table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. And He says, come just as you are to His table.
Those words are absolutely true. You are invited today to the table of the Lord. Just bread in a cup, but so much more. Represents the death of Jesus for our sin. And you know, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. So He actually hosts the table. I'd like you to get that when you come, you receive the bread and the cup from Him. And you're all welcome to come. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus and you want to be, you could come. You could take the bread and the cup and say, Lord, would you accept me? And He'll say yes. But here's the deal. I don't want you to do this passively today. I don't want you to just do it because we do it. I want you to come with huge asks today. I want you to come with a huge ask. What is it you really want? He's here. Do you need a spouse saved? Ask Him. Do you need a kid in the kingdom? Ask. Do you need to be free of some addictions? Ask. Do you need healing? Ask. I want you to ask today because He will answer. Sometimes we have not because we don't ask. And we limit God by not believing that He will do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So take one moment as we set up down here and say, what do I really want from the Lord? You're coming to His table. If you come to His table, it means you're known by name. If you come to His table, it means you're a son. If you come to His table, it means He has everything. You have nothing, but you can ask. Load up, and we'll leave this place different than when we came in. We'll take the bread and the cup when the people are up here. We'll go back to our seats, just take some time to reflect, and thank God for Jesus. Ask for what you need. Then we'll eat it and drink it together. Father, I thank You for this table. I thank You that You invite all of us to come, that everyone that comes is received, and no one's ever turned away. Thank You for the bread. Because we remember that it was the literal body of Jesus on the cross that took our place. Thank You for the cup, which reminds us all the time of the blood of Jesus, which takes away all of our sin. In whose name we pray. Amen.